On this November 11th, the 21st anniversary of the armistice of World War I, this then is the record of those who said they had no more territorial ambitions. Czechoslovakia annihilated, Albania invaded,
is the number you have just heard. And now we take great pleasure in presenting to you the star of our program, Miss Kate Smith.
Hello, everybody. It is my happy privilege to introduce a new song, God Bless America. While the storm clouds gather,
son. Makes you think of Blake, doesn't it? Makes you think of a lot of things. We're going to be in this yet, Mom.
That song out of Yip Yip Yap Hank 22 years ago. Sounds better now.
God bless America, and God bless the Republic for the United States of America. Welcome to week 47, this May 31st, to Internet Free America. Reminds me, as you all gather on the call, as God Bless America is playing, of how the rallying of the troops and how all across the United States we would gather in front of our radios to listen to the words of encouragement and hope as our troops were sent off to war. So we are at war. We're at a different type of war. We're at a battle of the wits and a battle of courage, a battle for freedom like we've never seen before. It is exciting to see that all across the land we have folks who come to me who tell me that whatever they're in, whether they're fighting with us here in the Republic to re-secure our freedoms or whether they're fighting in some other aspect, many, many folks are aware that God's moving powerfully in the land. The devil's trying to steal the day, but I believe he will fail. Well, our agenda this evening was laid out for you by our producer, Janine Stewart, who called me calmly at about 20 minutes before the call to say all is well. She has a bottle of tequila near, and and that the show is not panning out as we thought. So we will be having Sharon Anzaldi with us talking about land patents. We will be having Mark Lounsbury with us giving us an update on what's happening in the House. And if the president comes in phone range, then we may have him on the call, but the chances are we will not. So realizing that infinite flexibility is the byword of our age and the byword of this time, I'd like us to take a minute to just pause to enter into the cool of the evening and ask for a blessing from God. And I see my brother and sister on the line here, Bruce and Linda Dietler. I'm going to unmute you, give you an opportunity to catch your breath, and take us to the Lord in prayer.
Thank you, Robert. What an opportunity. Praise God.
Father, amen.
We thank you for the opportunity to come into your presence, Lord, and we thank you, Father, for those that you have called at this time and this season, Father, for your appointed purpose. Glorify yourself in the call this night, Lord. Encourage our hearts and show us your plans and your desires for our lives, Lord, how we might cooperate with you, Lord, to bring your victories and your desires to pass in our lives and in this nation, in this republic. Father, we rest in your love and faithfulness this evening. Thank you, Father, you have it all under control, and we serve a great and a mighty God. We rest in your love and faithfulness and give you glory and praise in the name of your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there has been a lot, just an exciting amount going on in the House and the Senate over the last few weeks, and we haven't really talked too much about it. There's been a number of our calls. In fact, I think two of our calls this in the last month or so have been also calls that have been split with folks attending Senate and House calls. So I'd like to open up, if you're ready, Speaker Lounsbury, with you to give you a warm greeting this evening. And if you would tell us, what is it that the people's business is about in the halls of Congress?
Well, thank you, Robert. I appreciate that opportunity. And just to get an update for everyone out there, Congress has been very busy. Senate and the House have been having some joint sessions, so legislation has been coming before them, and voting has been occurring. Just last Tuesday, we voted on a Republic Donations Act, which was basically legislation that gives guidelines for how to address and deal with potential donations to the Republic, all kinds of donations, whether they have unconditional donations or if they have conditions, and how they would go about, who would go about looking at those to determine whether or not they're valid to be able to be received or not, and what kind of a process that would entail. So that actually was brought to the floor of Congress a couple of weeks ago, and then this last week, after a few adjustments, was brought and was voted on, and I believe it has passed both the House and the Senate. And then the previous week, we had a couple of other Treasury Amendment Acts We've had some that amended some previous Treasury bills where they enacted the Republic Treasury and the department and so forth and got that all set up for how it's going to work and function so that we're basically preparing for being able to funnel and utilize funds that would be coming into the Republic from various different kinds of sources and how that would be handled. We've had some appropriations bills, one basic one. We've got some more coming up that will be more detailed in nature. We've also had some passed an act regarding citizenship documentation, and that is enabling uniform procedures, uniform method of being able to document citizenship in the Republic. And in particular, it's a special. It was called a Special Naturalization Act, and that was because it was facilitating and providing the uniform guidelines for those who are already in the de facto's from the de facto's perspective, citizenship of the United States, to be able to document their status as a citizen of the de jure republic and clarify that jurisdiction with the Republic versus the corporate United States. And so that has been passed, and and also along with that a Department of Immigration and Naturalization. And so the executive branch is in the process of looking for and getting ready to set up a director, a secretary for that department, and a lot of the things that need to get put into place so that they can begin to process this documentation. And we also have some judicial stuff that's going on, getting some of the judicial branch offices and the court system, the inferior court system set up so that Republic courts of record can be able to, as it was stipulated in the original laws in the de jure, do the certificate of citizenship with an oath before a judge in a courtroom or in a court. And so that all has been passed, and so they're in the processes of getting all that set up as well. There's additional money stuff coming down the pike. People are looking at that. We have various other committees that are working on subjects. Some of them are related to money, like insurance and how we can handle bonding, how do you bond the courts and those types of things, raising various finances. Some of those things are being worked on, various sources of funding that we're looking at as well, and how we would handle that from donations to loans to using the creation of currency based upon good faith and status, good faith and credit of the people of the Republic, and all of the different things that we have to look at and go through to lawfully get ready for all of that. So we're hoping that this summer is going to bring a fresh season to the Republic and kind of some new things, kind of a new stage or a new time in this Republic when things begin to move to a different level for us. And I know everyone's struggling out there, but Congress is still plugging away, and it's a tribute to all of the hard work and effort that people have been putting in the Congress. It's all been volunteer up to this point, and so I'm very blessed. We are all blessed that there are so many people out there that are willing to put in so much time and effort to get this stuff established and set up as volunteer on a volunteer basis. With that, I'll go ahead and yield and answer any questions that you may have.
Well, Mark, I just want to comment and commend Congress on threading the pieces from the Act to Establish the Treasury back in 1789 and really laying together some consistency with the bills as I've reviewed them. Can you comment just a little bit on that? I like the idea. I just maybe just embellish on it a little, that we've abolished the office of the Assistant Secretary of Treasury and created a new office. Can you talk a little bit about that?
They went back and made some amendments to the original acts, and they created a I forget what it's called now.
It's the Office of Commissioner of Revenue?
Yeah, the Commissioner of Revenue and a Department of acquisitions, Bureau of Acquisitions. And that is in primarily to deal with some of these differing kinds of funding channels that we may find ourselves in. I know that the original Republic probably did receive donations, for instance, the Statue of Liberty and so forth. There were a number of donations, but we don't really look back in history and see a lot of that on the record. But there needed to be a way to handle those kinds of things coming in. And they did, in all of our acts, we have been going back and looking at the original laws that are on the books, because as we re-inhabit this, we have to re-inhabit those original laws as well. And then if there's any changes that need to take place in order to facilitate this re-inhabitation process, then we need to make those changes so that it fits for 2012 instead of the 1800s.
That's what I was so impressed with, just as I reviewed the bills and the amendments and how you guys have thought about this. It really has been some deep thinking on the parts of, I'm going to suspect, many of you, and many, many hours of research putting this together.
Yes, it's been a lot of research and a lot of debate, back and forth, discussion, what if, what about this, and lots and lots of time discussing and looking at all the ramifications, trying to make sure that we don't, put our foot where it shouldn't be and make sure that we do things properly, decently, and in order.
Well, very good. So do you have any votes coming up this coming week?
I don't believe we have any votes this coming week, but we will have some new legislation coming to the floor for discussion, and it'll probably be voted on the following week or possibly even Thursday. In the past, we've had a couple of weeks where we have had an extra session on Tuesday and then again on a Thursday, because we've had a lot of stuff in the works and we needed to kind of have some more sessions there. And we may be doing that a little bit more as more things come to the floor. But right now, I think it's we won't have any votes this coming Tuesday that I'm aware of.
Very good. I have one final question that I can think of before we bring on our next guest. And that is, how do you find participation is now from the states? Are you having a good representation? Are you having difficulty in getting all of your elected representatives on board? Can you talk a little about that?
We're getting pretty good representation. If you look at the votes, they're coming in. As far as committee work and active participation in doing research and writing up stuff and bringing to the table knowledge based upon research that they've done to add to the discussions and those types of things, I would still say that that's true across multiple types of businesses, I guess, as it were. 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. But for the most part, we're getting a lot more people beginning to participate in those discussions and so forth. And obviously, we'd like to see it more, especially as we expand the tasks that some of these committees are working on and, pare back some of the work that some of them are having to spend, way too many hours on, and be able to delegate that out a little bit more and have some people step up to the plate. So, but that's beginning to happen. It's obviously not as easy to control, because we are in a volunteer sort of situation where nobody's being paid at this point. So most of those people are having to have full-time jobs or, work other places. And that makes it very difficult to make a lot of demands upon people. And so with that said, I would say that our, considering the circumstances that we're in, I would say that our participation is actually very good. Once there is able to be payment made and employment situation where people can be full time, obviously we would expect that there's going to be a lot more participation. But considering where we're at, I think the participation has even has been fairly good.
Well, from a voice of the people here at the roundtable, we like to express our gratitude to those in Congress who are putting their shoulder to the wheel, because I hear you. Without a paycheck and having to juggle all the rest of our responsibilities in life, it's a labor of love, for sure.
Yes. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. We will move on. Will you be available for questions later on in the call?
Yes.
Very good. Well, good evening. We've got a little bit of housekeeping to do. Janine, you want to just ask here about our guests on the host line, see whether they're...
Oh, I do. Thank you, Robert, for reminding me. I'm going to go ahead and press the mute button and the unmute button, and if you hear that... if you can please come on the line and tell us who you are, I'd appreciate it. 417 area code. And I'm going to press mute again. And unmute you. 417 area code. Can you identify yourself, please?
Maybe you can just let them know that we have a participant code, which is 594-637. And maybe just drop them off a call, and they can call back on that number. 594-637 is a participant code.
Thanks, Robert. And we have our other two guests on the line with us as well.
Oh, very good. Okay, and how about the 708? You clear on that one?
I'm clear on that one.
Very good. All right. Well, our next guest is, we weren't sure if you were going to make it, sir, but our next guest is President Timothy Turner. Good evening, sir.
And he should be unmuted.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Mr. President. Good evening.
Sorry, I was muted and I'm trying to get to the mute button on my phone.
I've got to get you a headset, I tell you.
I'm still from the dinosaur age, and I'm going into this electronic world kicking and screaming. But we managed to get through. Yeah, as most of you know, we're beginning our road trip today, and we'll be traveling the country for the next month out talking to many of the states and many of the people, as I always look forward to doing. We're going to bring the plan out, let you see it, talk to you about it, answer your questions, and show you what the Republic has really been doing behind the scenes, bring you up to date on the information that we can share, and I think you'll be happy at the position we're in and where we're going, and I think that the time for the people of the Republic to catch the vision. And I'm very thankful for the people in Congress, on the committees and in Congress that are working on all of these bills and legislation. They, bless their heart, they've been working very, very diligently, very, very hard for a long time, and I want to let them know that I appreciate their efforts. And like to thank all the people that are working out there in the Republic to help build the Republic. And we've got some issues we're dealing with, of course, as always. You know, with God's help, we're going to overcome it. And we're going to deal with it properly, lawfully, fairly. And we're heading down to Oklahoma this weekend, and we will be there with the people of Oklahoma. I'm looking forward to that. And we're going to try to help them resolve some of the issues that they seem to be having down there, and I think that we have a solution that will help. So looking forward to that and getting them back on track, and I know the people down there are anxious to do the same. So we'll start.
You're breaking up a little bit there. So
okay, well, I'm traveling, so I'm sorry if I'm not very clear. Because I'm in transit, so I may lose you. I'm out in the middle of the woods.
Well, so far we're hearing you between the trees, so press on.
Okay. But I do look forward to meeting with the people and going out and making this trip and bringing everybody up to speed and get everybody on the same page with the Republic, because it's something we've been needing to do, but because we had so many duties, we've just now been able to, so look forward to doing that. And we have some major legislation in process now in Congress, and I'm hoping soon that some of the things, the Judiciary Act that we're working on and Ranger Act, will be taken care of soon. We really need to move forward. We have a number of cases around the nation that we need to actually have trials for. We need to bring them into our court, have trials, and settle these issues for the people that are in the Republic. So I hope that Congress will move on forward with that and get it done as soon as possible, because some of these things are time sensitive, and we need to help our brothers and sisters in the Republic. And there are a number of issues that we need to address as soon as possible. But we need the Judiciary Acts done that they're working on, as well as the Ranger program in place, so we can have the authority to do the things that we need to do. As I said, I look forward to meeting with all of you that I'm going to get to see while on my trip, and I'm very thankful for all the help and the cooperation I'm getting across the country with people setting up meetings and working with us. You've done a great job. All of you went out of your way to try to make accommodations for us, and I'm very thankful for that. I don't want to put a burden on anybody, but I'm very thankful for all the things that the people are doing. With that, Robert, I will be on the side waiting for any questions, if you have any. So I'll just be listening. And if you lose me, it's because I'm out of signal range, okay?
Well, very good. Are you able to talk about specifics? Has your secretary put together a published list? For example, where you're going to be in Oklahoma? And if not, where are those notices going to be posted so folks can follow up with you?
We have already sent out an email to all the people in Oklahoma. We will be in Henrietta, Oklahoma, on Saturday. Saturday at 1 o'clock, I believe, is the meeting time, 1 p.m. So we should, you know, it's going to be an all-day affair. So come prepared to stay for several hours. It's going to be a long day.
So very good. And that's going to be both the elections and the vision. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to do the elections. We're also going to do show the documents and answer any questions. Let the people read the documents. Actually, we'll have the documents read publicly and discuss the documents with the people. And we'll be there and for quite some time going through all that, I'm sure. And so the people from Oklahoma or wherever in the area, if you're in surrounding states, if you want to come, and you're welcome to be part of that. But it's only going to be allowed if you're a member of the Republic. Those are the only ones that are allowed to see the documents. Won't be any copies made or any electronic format or any cameras, cell phones, or anything like that allowed in the meeting during the review of the documents, because we don't want this to end up on certain blog spots that y'all know about. It's not time for that. But we do want the people of the Republic to have the knowledge of what's going on in the Republic and see. We're proud of what we've done, and we want you to share in it. And so that's what we'll be doing over the next few weeks.
Excellent. Excellent. And I guess one other thought that comes to my mind is, okay, you're heading for Oklahoma, and the surrounding states from there should consider coming to see you. Where is your next stop so that folks know what the radius is of you know, visits?
I'm not sure yet. We've had a schedule change, and I'm trying to put that together. We're not absolutely sure, but we will put that out in the next couple of days.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm so sorry, sir. Finish your thoughts.
We were going to Texas, but we had to change the date, and we had some things come up that we couldn't deal with down there, and we wanted Wade to be available, and he had to be out of town this particular weekend, and there was no way he could get out of it, and he's doing some other things, diplomatic things for us as well, that tied him up as well. So he's kind of had to move his schedule around because of that, and that's the reason we're not going to Texas next week. But anyway, we will be putting out where we're going to be as soon as we figure it out ourselves and make contact with the people, okay?
Very good. So all I can say is if you're in the area of Oklahoma and you're prompted to make a trip over there, then that would probably be the surest bet before President heads, well, to the next area. There you go.
Yeah,
we'll just leave it there. Right.
And we will put that out in just a day or two whenever we decide where we're going to go next. We have an agenda. We are going to New Mexico, Arizona, and Colorado, I know, but I don't know exactly how that schedule is going to work yet until I make some calls.
Well, very good. Mr. President, we're going to be talking about land patents here with our next guest. And before we go to that topic, though, I wanted to know if you could take a few minutes and dispel some of the scuttlebutt around this UPU and the whole postal deal that is causing just a lot of stir amongst some of the folks in the Republic. Could you just talk, about that, if you would?
There's a lot of disinformation about that going on. First of all, there are people that are claiming they are being recognized by the UPU. Well, I can tell you that does not happen. They do not recognize an individual. They won't do that. That's contrary to their charter. Their charter, the only people that are recognized by the UPU are nations who are member nations of the United Nations. That's the only people that are recognized. Okay? They don't make that determination. The United Nations does. So anybody that says that they've got a letter being recognized as a postmaster general or whatever it is they claim they are from the UPU is not telling you the truth. They just don't do that. And I know we've talked directly to the people over there, the head of the UPU, the director of it, and they very clearly explained that to us, and I also read it in their charter. Okay, so people are misrepresenting things that they're saying. I'm not sure where people think that they can declare themselves a postmaster general of the United States of America. We have a postmaster for the Republic, but it was done through a congressional act and by the authority of the people. And so we actually are a member nation. The Republic has been a member nation since the beginning of the UPU. And Republic is... They understand who we are. But, you know, UPU does not make determinations about who you are. They don't do that. That's not their job. And we are working directly with them. We do have documents already recorded with the UPU. We've had documents recorded with the UPU for 18 months or more. It's not almost, well, it'll be 2 years. In July, it'll be 2 years. So we've been working a long time with this organization, and the folks that are out there claiming that they're these self-proclaimed postmasters are just simply they're not telling you the truth. They're just simply not telling you the truth. The postal routes have already been claimed by the Republic, not by individuals, but by the Republic. All of that stuff has already been done long before you heard about this stuff that's going on. So, folks, I'm telling you, you're hearing a bunch of junk. And it upsets me when I hear these people misrepresent the truth, and that's what's going on. They don't understand what they're talking about, first of all. They have no clue in law what they're talking about. And so they're just out there trying to cause disruptions in the Republic, and that needs to stop.
Yeah, it certainly is a disruption because they're saying that that although we call ourselves a republic, we're not the republic. And I'm thinking this is just doesn't make any sense coming from some learned folks within our ranks.
They're pseudo learned folks.
All right, I'll leave it there. Well, very good. So we have been all the paperwork's in place. It's been in 18 months to 2 years. We are re-inhabiting the Republic, so the Republic has already been in existence and acknowledged by the UPU for centuries.
Our documents were delivered to the UPU and by I don't really need to say that, I guess, but I don't really need to say. But anyway, it's a former very high-ranking official.
All right.
That's all I can say.
That's enough.
more than that. But they were personally delivered by courier. I've got receipts. I can prove it. And, you know, that's just the way it is.
Will that be something that will be presented when you go region to region?
Happy to show it, yes.
Perfect. All right. Very good. That's going to dispel a lot of that.
I have the documents that were sent there for I will actually show the documents, the first proclamation we sent in, I believe it was July, if I remember, of 2010, and also the updates that have been sent. And I've got the delivery confirmation that shows it all.
Well,
and
I'll
show that to the people during these meetings.
For one, I mean, for myself, I'm very excited. Very excited that this is now being rolled out to the body politic for those who have joined in the Republic. And it's only going to move us from strength to strength because a lot of the things where people have been unclear or didn't know or haven't read the documents, now this is all going to be laid out for the people. And that's only going to help our cause tremendously.
Absolutely. Well, you got to understand these folks that are talking about what they're talking about. They have taken it upon themselves to do things that they didn't have the authority to do. That would be like you going over there and proclaiming the president of France. Who gave you the authority to become the president of France, Robert?
Je parlez-vous français petit peu.
Oui, oui. the bottom line is that you didn't have it, and you can proclaim it all day long, but you don't have the authority. We did things by lawful process. We went to the Congress. Congress passed a bill or passed an act, and they said, this is what we're going to do. Okay? That gave us the authority to move forward and do what we did. Okay? These other folks that are talking didn't do that. They don't have a Congress backing what they did. Okay? So let's see if we can win that fight.
Yeah. Well, let's just speak the truth and let the chips fall where they may, because you know, there's all sorts out there, all sorts. Everybody's got a different purpose, a different agenda, something else they want to.
This is what I'm going to say, and you can write this down, please, in your book and remember it. 6 months, a year from now, you'll wonder what happened to them, and we'll still be standing. That you can write it down and remember it.
May, June, July, August, September, October, November 30th. Very good. November 30th it is.
Okay, you're going to remind me on November 30th, right? Okay.
Janine, can we make a note of that?
Got it.
All right.
All right.
Well, great, Mr. President. If you would be available for comments as we move along here this evening, we would greatly appreciate that.
Yes.
And I guess the only other thing is if you want to intro the whole land patents idea, feel free to do so, because I believe we have Sharon Anzaldi on the line. Janine, is that correct?
That's correct. And Mr. President, if you wouldn't mind, Tom Chapman was going to talk about the history and the law behind the land patent process, but he is unable to be with us this evening. And Sharon's going to share some of the successes they've had with stopping foreclosure and that strategy. So if you wouldn't mind giving a quick little 5-minute history lesson, that would be great.
Okay, I'll do my best. I believe I can remember a couple of things. Yeah, as most of you know, that Tim Pledger and myself, we researched this very diligently for weeks. And I was quite impressed with the information that I found on the history of land patents and the law that supports what we do. The land patent in this country originated from right after the Revolutionary War, when the government, when we won the war and our government was established due to the law of nations, which is one of those Maxim's law is called conquest, then anytime you go in and take a land by conquest, you own the land. Well, in America, we had a little different system. It was different than anything they had in Europe. In Europe, the king owned everything. So if you went in there and you put the king's flag on a piece on a land, he owned the land. In America, it wasn't like that. In America, the people owned the land. because we were considered sovereigns upon our land. So when the government claimed the land, they couldn't own the land. All they could do was hold it in trust for the people. So when a person wanted a piece of land out here that was considered public land, they could go out and claim that land. And what they had to do was go to the land, the Bureau of Land Management Land Office. They call it the General Land Office, I think. And they would go down there and say, I want this piece of land. All that was required for you to own that piece of land was to pay what they called the fee, because they couldn't sell you the land because they didn't own it. It was owned by the people already, because all the government could ever do was hold it in trust for the people. So the land that was held in trust would be transferred or conveyed, is what they called it, to the person or the sovereign by way of land patent. And he paid the fee. The fee was for the survey and the registration of that land. And that's what they charged the fee for, was for the survey and the registration. So the patent had to be registered, and it was registered in the name of a sovereign man or woman. And that man or woman owned that land. And on the land patent, it says they own that land with all the appurtenances and all of the hereditaments and all of the everything on that land, and it was granted to their heirs and assigns forever. That means that patent never expires. Doesn't matter if it's 500 years old, it doesn't expire, because forever has not expired. And so that's the law. Okay, and that's a basic short history of how land patents originated in this nation. Now, the sovereign individuals can pass land from one sovereign to another sovereign. And the sovereigns can own the land. Corporations, however, cannot. They can own interest in land, but they cannot own the actual land. And so that's a real important thing for people to understand. You can't hold a land patent in a trust. It's a corporation. You can't hold a land patent in a corporation. You can only hold a land patent in the name of a sovereign. And that's been a confusion a lot of people have had. But basically, that's a brief history on the law. It's very brief. There's a lot of things to it. But it's a very simple process to understand, very simple concept. The land was earned by conquest, by when Washington took the sword of Cornwallis and surrendered the land that belonged to the people because of the law of nations. It says that law of conquest, if you take a land by conquest, you own it. And that's what happened. And so that's how the land patents originated in our country. So with that, I know it's a very brief history, and I'm sure I missed a lot, but I'll be on standing by to answer any questions if you have any. And I certainly would want to hear from Sharon about the successes we're having with the process.
Very good. Well, boy, my brain's jumping at a question here with that corporations cannot own the land, only sovereigns, and
yes.
Corporations can only hold an interest.
Yes.
I have taken thousands of hours of real estate training at much expense, and we've always been advised that holding property in an LLC is the best way to hold property. And
yep. No, sure. Absolutely, you can hold it, but you can't own it.
You can't own it. How interesting. Very good.
It's a little play on words that people don't think about.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, a corporation absolutely can hold it, but they cannot own it.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, sir. So, Sharon, good evening to you. You have the floor. Tell us about your victories in the land patent process.
I will.
Carry on from where the president has started.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say thank you for the fine job. And boy, I know that Robert Janine is the administrator of the Western world. I have to say that. And by the way, that second bottle of tequila is on my desk.
Oh, gosh.
I can say that we've been up, down, and all around, and I know the president. When Tom and I went to the president, and Tim Pledger and the president researched many, many hours, and we have as well. It seems to be a never-ending process. We do the best we can. Just trying to keep people in their homes has been a battle. And I can say honestly that here in Illinois, we've been up, down, and all around at least a few times. But we have managed to have some successes. I would like to talk about a little bit of the fraud that is perpetrated against all people at a closing. And it starts initially with the closing attorney. He is the person that basically has control of the process because he is a representative for the only one that he has any skin in the deal, which is the current homeowner. So essentially what they do is they take these, you own your property for a little bit of time at the closing table. That's precisely why they call it a closing, is because everything is settled at the table. But then comes along Mr. Seller's attorney, and he said, well, you know, I think I'll take this. I'll just record this for you. They use title companies because they use specific title companies because they are paid a fee by the title company to use that house, basically. All right, so they are paid by the title company. They are also paid by the county. They all get checks, kicked back from the county for doing this. And they take your title because we don't know, we've never been told that we have to accept and acknowledge that transaction, that deed, as the grantee. So it's supposed to be conveyed from the grantor, who would be the current homeowner, to the grantee. So we don't know that. We're just thrilled to death with our new payment book and our debt and whatever. And the attorney will state that, oh, I'll take this, send it to the county, and he will file it in the county. Well, when that happened, he actually took your ownership as a landowner and made you a tenant on the land. All right? So the fraud gets pretty deep. And if you understand some of those things, the first part of our process that everyone has put together is the acceptance and the acknowledgement of the deed. So we first have to accept that, okay, we're acknowledging that, even in Bouvier's Law and other places. I can't think because I was actually thrown under the bus today, so I'm just going to fess up. And
watch out for the double tires there, Sharon.
Sharon, when I throw you under the bus, at least I don't back up and run over you again and again.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
I hate abuse. So anyway, what happens is that the first part of the process is, well, of course, actually you have to, you know, order our land patents from the Bureau of Land Management and whatever. But the first part is accepting and acknowledging the deed as the grantee. So you're saying, okay, I'm here, I'm alive. I am the grantee, and I'm going to accept that position. So that's a huge step. And then the second part, in Illinois, we've figured out that we do this in two phases. We accept and acknowledge it. That's one recording. After that, I clearly mark a sticky note on there. This is number one. When they hand that back to you, hand them this one, right? And then the second package is the update of land patents. And then that clearly states who you are. We put in the homestead papers and whatever. But there are some very slick, very conniving things going on in these processes. And thank God that some of us have had the, you know, the foresight to read into these things. Many things we're gathering from all around the country. Rob Ryder and the person on redress, and we're just doing hours and hours of researching. We have a dynamic team. We have, well, when you have Janine and Nicole, you're in pretty good shape. All right, so they're keeping us, they're keeping everything flowing, and we're still continuing to research and move. We are also finding out, I will tell you that we know this is absolutely lawful and that it is superior over all other liens and whatever. That doesn't mean, however, that you won't have some of these corporate factions try to keep moving against you. They will and they do. so, you know, we have to be strong and diligent and clever and just, you know, refuse to relent because we are superior with that, with those documents filed. And we have had some successes. I started this in October with just doing acknowledgement, and that had kept people out of places. But now we have a very sophisticated process. And I can tell you that on the 18th of May, we have, which I will give the case number to Janine so that, or the person's name so that people can check it. I ask that you be discreet and not throw this all over the place. But anyway, this particular person went, I am looking at his court file right now, and he's had many, many appearances and motions and everything else that you can think of. But when one of our processors completed the land patent process for him, we also did a few little other tricky things that he didn't appreciate, but we did it anyway. And when they finished that, he walked into court on the 18th of May, and the attorney representing the pretender lender said that he was entering a motion to withdraw. I'm going to read this exactly what it says. Strike or withdraw motion for petition is allowed. So he entered a motion to strike or withdraw the case from the court. And the homeowner was so surprised. He was absolutely shocked because the motion was already presented to the judge. The attorney talked to the judge, told him that. The homeowner stood there dumbfounded, and the judge looked at him and said, "You're free to leave now." And he said, he was like, "What is going on here? Wait a minute." And she said, "Okay, you can leave." She wanted him out of the courtroom. Huh. So anyways, case was dismissed. And he was just called screaming, yelling, couldn't believe it because this sort of thing is going on. Another one that we got, we're able to keep a lot of people in their houses. That doesn't mean that they aren't trying different things. But if you understand the land patent process, it's absolutely superior.
So, Sharon, before you tell us about the next one, so with the judge telling me he's free to leave, did that mean he's free to leave and the pretender lender will not be doing anything to try to take his house away in a foreclosure or some other sort of sneaky maneuver?
It said here that they were withdrawing the motion that the case was dismissed. It doesn't mean that, in my opinion, it doesn't mean that someone won't try to come back again, but they would really be silly if they did because he has a very extensive case file here. And Linda started processing not that long ago. So
he has his land patent in place, and he's accepted his land patent,
uh-huh.
He's accepted and acknowledged his deed.
Yes.
So really, he's in first position on this, and the lender really has no, not only no skin in the game, but really no claim. Is that what?
Yes. It says a land patent which gives you a lodial freehold that was judgment-proof and even immune from tax liens. Said the only authority over you is God himself. So that doesn't, they always try these. I'm not saying that they don't try. Eventually they stop. I'm seeing that 90 days is usually when they start to go away. And that's when people who research deeds and titles and, the title searches in county buildings, they will start notifying homeowners that, I see that, your title is in a different name. Would you like a copy of the updated information? So that's what we're seeing. We have about 7 or 8 people that we've kept in their house now.
Sweet. Sweet. Okay, second victory. Go ahead. Thank you.
The other one was when they were actually going for possession, and we filed that. And what happened is that the lender then didn't show up. So, and this was for possession. She was in possession court. So they postponed for another 30 days, and the attorney didn't get it because no one showed up again. And then on the third time, she said, well, I guess I'm going to have to dismiss this case. It was like, oh, darn. Well, okay. So they dismissed the case. And that was after the sale. That was after everything. All right. And she is still in. Nothing has changed. That happened in, I believe, November.
So if that was after the sale, what does that mean? Is there a cloud on her title?
Oh, I'm sure there is.
Okay.
I am sure, absolutely sure there is, but we have other things that we will be working on next to get rid of that.
Okay.
You know, because there is recourse. So the main thing, I mean, this is how I feel. If you are lucky enough to have this done, to have enough talented people out here that are putting these things together, and you have ownership, you know, I mean, quite honestly, you can cloud my title or pull my credit. I really don't care what my slave score is. And you can, you know what I'm saying? It's like, who cares? So as long as you have a place to live and you own it, you can deal with clearing up the title later, either through a quiet title action or go after the title company for the fraud. They'll get it straightened out for you.
Wait, yeah.
You know, so this is what I'm seeing. But the main thing is that we've been able, it has stopped sales. We had one that I found out about it 2 days before they were actually, her property was going to sale. And she quickly went down, filed it in the county the next day, and then handed a copy to the attorney that was having the sale. And then they pretended that they made sure she was the last one. They pretended that they sold the property for three times more than it was worth that was at the time. And she checked the records the following business day, and every property on that list actually transferred or was sold but hers. So they do a lot of crazy things that make you pretend and to make you obedient and terrified and whatever. But if you're strong enough to stand your ground, keep your boxes packed in case the sheriff shows up. No, I'm kidding. but I mean, technically, the house is yours. You just have to sometimes do battle.
So, Sharon, tell me, with that particular sale or that particular case, what sort of paperwork did they use so that the pretender lender made it look like it was sold but it wasn't?
Oh, well, they actually just went through the motions. You know, they're screaming up the numbers in the room and pretending that was the last sale. But it was like, wait a second, maybe he doesn't know, but everybody lost 30 to 50% of the value. And he put it on, he said it sold for three times the amount of what the mortgage amount was. But that was all for show. And it was just because they were in the room showing, sitting there watching the sale. And oh, what a surprise, the same bank bought the house back, which is another strange situation. Why would a bank buy something that it already owns? Does that seem strange to you?
It certainly does, but it's happened to a number of my houses, so I get it. It's no longer strange. It just pisses me off.
I hate that you have all that experience.
Here's what I didn't ask it clearly enough. What did your client, they file that caused the bank to go through the smoke and mirrors with them? What did they actually file that caused the bank?
In that case, we filed the land patent, and we accepted and acknowledged the deed as grantee. And right away, what did the whole thing. And when they walked in with the paperwork, the attorney said, who did this? Did an attorney do this? How much did they pay? And who is it? And she said, well, that's a lot of information. I really don't, personally, I don't need my name out in the street anymore. But she said...
you mean the attorney for the bank said this? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Who did this? I want to talk with them. And she said, well, I'm not at liberty to give that information. And he just looked at me and said, well, I'll tell you one thing. You have a very good friend.
Wow.
That's what he said, yes.
Okay, good. Good.
So it's amazing. I mean, I can tell you that the banks are relentless. They're used to perpetrating fraud and getting away with it. So, you know, they have a very difficult time when someone stands up and says, wait a minute, I don't like this version of what's going on. So I don't know. It's working, but, you know, what can I tell you? I think it'll be easier eventually. And some of the things that happen, they just, you know, they get realtors in that will come and post a sign on your house and tell you that you have to leave in 2 days or something like that. But, you know, you just have to get that straightened out, just handle it. You don't have a contract with any of those people, so you certainly don't have to pay any attention to them. You know, but I am seeing that it is our right. You know, all of us have done countless hours. I know the president and Tim Pledger did like 300 case studies alone. So it is our right. It is effective, but, you know, you have to be strong and keep the faith. And the more people doing it, the easier the process will be. So.
So let's talk about this full circle then, Janine, in terms of where this fits into what the Republic services with the Republic Records Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to talk about the full cycle of that now?
Well, sure. I can tell you what, you know, what it is once we receive the documentation. We do a certification of registration and notarial record on these documents. We do have a Republic notary. And she certifies that the documents that we have them, and they are the original documents. And then we record them. They're cataloged and indexed and scanned, and so we keep a digital copy of it here. And then through the Office of the Secretary of State, we attach an apostille to the package, and we send those original documents back to the landowner immediately. Part of the process of what they do is they have to post public notice, and you have to, depending on your jurisdiction, whether that's by newspaper, bulletin board, and we always want people to post their properties. After 90 days, we at the Records Bureau, on behalf of the landowner, we send a removal from tax records to the county tax assessor, and we do that by notary presentment as well. And so that's, you know, in a nutshell, that's the process, Robert.
Well, that's very exciting. So a person works with somebody from Dominion Services, gets the land patent, does their acceptance of their deed as the grantee, then they have a package that they send to you, or does Dominion Services send that to you for recording?
The processor sends it to us for recording.
Okay. So that's part of a...
Actually, the president will want me to say that we're not recording these documents. We're registering these documents, and that's because once we register them, they can never be recorded into the any record again. They're always just registered. And I just wanted to maybe clarify one little point, and it could be just a semantic thing, but Robert, you said once you get your land patent... we're not getting a land patent. That's not what their process is. It's updating the existing land patent.
Okay, so you're doing that by accepting the deed, right?
Well, accepting the deed is part of the process, but not necessarily the process for updating the land patent. The people are filing a notice of update of land patent, and we're just bringing forward what was already there. So I don't want to make it look like sound like we're helping people go getting a land patent. That's not what we're doing. We're only updating it and bringing it forward.
Well, that's quite significantly different than what other folks are doing, correct?
Well, Robert, I only know what we're doing.
Exactly. Wow, I don't know anything about that.
Oh, well, I watched a YouTube video. What should I say? All right.
Shame on you. By the way, I have to say, I really have to say, it is a fabulous presentation that comes back to the homeowner with the apostille and all the seals, and it's an amazing presence. So I was really quite impressed with it. So nice job, of course.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, what a surprise. Anyway.
Do we want to open this up to some questions?
I was going to just say that. If you gals would stay on the line, and the president and Speaker Lounsbury are also in the wings, let's open it up for questions. And members of the Republic, the floor is yours.
Okay. So if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 6 on your phone and then press 1 to confirm that you do want to be in the queue.
I want to just welcome those who are new to the Republic and who are tuning into our call. And I was asked by some of the new folks, how is it that you ask questions? So, again, slowly with feeling this time, Janine.
Feeling. Please.
And a lot of consideration.
So if you would like to ask a question, please press star 6 on your phone. And then the computer will ask you if you'd like to press 1 to confirm that you want to be in the queue. Is that better, Robert?
No, that was great. I just wanted to, you know, just reiterate for the new folks, because we just assume these things, and so I was just going slower for those who are technically challenged.
Great.
All right, Roger Evans, you have the floor, sir. Good evening.
Thank you very much, Robert. I'm one of the newbies, so you're going to have to lead me by the nose through this process, you know.
Alrighty then. We know how to do that.
Now, Roger, you know you've already been trained.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, you're right, Janine. I had the pleasure of being at Janine's get-together, if you would, in Kansas City. And thank you, Janine. That was wonderful.
Thank
I
you.
Do have one question. I heard a rumor floating around, and we all know about rumors, so I figured the best place to dispel a rumor is to bring it out into the open. And one is that there are some of the Department of Interior offices that are not sending out the updated land patents anymore unless you physically buy the land from the federal government. And that's the story that was told me. Can you shed any light on that rumor at all?
Wow. I haven't heard anything like that.
I haven't heard anything like that either.
Okay, good. Because we're getting ready to send our request to New Mexico, I believe, is where we have to go. And I just wanted to make sure that it will be processed.
I can tell you that we have had tremendous success, and communication is great. So I haven't seen any issues with that at all.
Outstanding. Thank you very much for your time, and Robert, thank you for letting a newbie on.
You're welcome, Mr. Secretary.
Who has the plug? That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
All right. Let's go up to Alaska. Jim Coleman, good evening.
Yes, sir. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you clearly.
Okay. First question here concerning the land patent. I was listening to the lady speaking there, and does this only work for the folks that have their land or their home and have mortgages on that or against it? Or, I mean, that's what she was speaking of. I'm wondering, what if the person has never had a mortgage and owns his land and house? I use that term loosely, owned. We know we don't own it. We're tenants on it, but has never had a mortgage. Can you still go through this process?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Well, would it be easier for a person who owned it outright, as or rather, you know, soon to own it by never having a mortgage, than it would if you had a mortgage against your house?
No. No, it has
It would
nothing.
Not be any easier.
No, it has nothing to do with that, no.
Okay, good. The process is the same then, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that since you already own your place, as such, you wouldn't be fighting the bank. You'd only be fighting the tax assessors.
Right.
The people that are demanding your...
And let me tell you, you are a rare person that owns their own property outright these days. You know, but that's a lovely thing. That's the way we were meant to live, actually. So that's a very nice thing.
I never had a mortgage on anything in my life. I do without before I've, you know, bend over. Then you become a slave, sure enough, you know.
Yep.
And the other question is, maybe to Speaker Lonsberry, on signing up new members, now that we have approved and passed this Declaration and Certificate of Citizenship, I know, so a new, to sign up a new member of the Republic, we would sign that paper. Would we also go and you also fill out the Jural Covenant of Office and also the Declaration of Independence that that we signed, you know, when we first started off? There'll still be a total of 3 papers that we sign for new members. Is that correct or not?
Well, yeah, those are different purposes. The Certificate of Citizenship is just that. It's to document citizenship. Ultimately, once the Department of Immigration and Naturalization gets set up and we get naturalization officers, and once the courts of record understand the procedure for taking that oath and documenting that certificate of citizenship, then, and that'll happen gradually over the next few weeks and few months, and get that up and going, then that's probably the only process that you will end up needing. For right now, you probably will, in some of those states, continue to use some of those other documents for people who need to sign up right now,
yes.
And then add that certificate of citizenship as it becomes available to you, because you have to have a court of record that you can go to and take the oath and so forth. Some states will probably be jumping on it right away, and so forth. But yes.
Okay, so if I'm going to sign up a new member, say tonight or whenever, he would fill out the Declaration of Sovereign Rights held by indigenous power. The Declaration of Independence, July 4, 1776, circa 2010, the Jural Covenant of Office for the Republic State Settlement. Those 3 things that we've all done prior to today would be all we would need to do to sign new members up at this point in time, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's correct.
Okay, and at a later date, as we get our court of records set up, well, then we would be able to use this declaration and certificate of citizenship, and that would take the place of these 3 papers that we're using right now. Is that right?
Yes. Down the road, that will probably transition to that. That's correct.
Oh, okay, okay. But at the present time, we just hold on to this right here and use our other 3 papers. This has been a confusing issue here. Between the representative you're speaking to and a representative that cooks his breakfast. So,
I understand that confusion because,
so,
you know,
so you've been here in my house, Mr. Speaker, and you understand what I'm up against.
I know exactly what you're up against there, Mr. Coleman.
I thank you for your answers, and I thank the lady there and the land patents, and hopefully here we're going to have one of those issues that she's been talking about take place and bear fruit right here in the Matanuska Valley. So you'll be hearing from us later. And I'll yield the floor and thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim.
Can I just – that's very funny. Can I just make a point of clarification, Mr. Speaker? We do have some states that have already started using – that had started using the new ASR, which had not – been legislated, but they had started using the ASR. The ASR did replace the DSR, the Jural Covenant, and the Declaration of Independence. So I don't want people on this call to think that they have to redo what they've already done. If you are using an ASR, it is valid. Could you speak to that?
That's an affidavit of sovereign rights. If we could use that in the place of 2 of these papers.
You could use that instead of the DSR. And that would include the Declaration of Independence and the Jural Covenant of Office. And Mr. Speaker, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Those are all documents that were created, but they weren't created by Congress or through a uniform rule as such. So they are valid to be able to be used. However, they don't specifically document citizenship. And that's why we've gone the extra step to create this documentation for citizenship. And so once those get up and rolling, people are going to be encouraged to document that citizenship. Because as far as you know, Jim, I might be a a Peruvian citizen instead of a United States citizen, because I've never had to show anybody that I was a citizen of this nation in order to become part of the republic. But that's what we're going to be moving towards with this legislation. Okay.
Yes, I understand. But like I said, we could use the three papers that I named to here just a moment ago, or we could use the new or that DSR that's out here, and that would take the place of at least, two of these papers or all three of them. Janine,
okay. Sure, let me help you there. If you want to use the DSR, you would include the Gerald Covenant of Office and the Declaration of Independence. If you want to use the ASR, which is the affidavit, you would only need to use that one document. But again, later on, we will be using the new document that you've been that you have legislated in Congress. The only reason I mentioned it, Jim, is because I didn't want some states to be confused.
Okay, understand. That's good.
I appreciate it.
And so then clarifying
that. You're still a half a notch from the top, but then that's, you know, Mark Lonsberry's got that spot up there.
It's a tough one, but you're at the top of mine, Jim.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help there. We'll talk to you later. I'll yield the floor.
Thank you,
Jim. Speaker Lonsberry, then. So just as after Janine has made her comments about the ASR, the bottom line is when the Court of Records are up in place and we're rolling out the new Declaration and Certificate of Citizenship, all the old documents will fall away. Is that correct?
Yes. I believe that all you will need would be that Certificate of Citizenship. Now, some states may require, for instance, even though you have a Certificate of Citizenship, some states may choose to require that a special something else be given to declare an oath to the state constitution or whatever in order to run for office or run for a specific office. They may have additional requirements, and that's okay. But this, but as far as or voting, let's say, you know, those types of things, they may be additional requirements, but ultimately, I believe that everything that's in that certificate of citizenship, it has the Declaration of Sovereign Rights kind of built into it. It has the oath to the Constitution, which would be sort of like the Gerald Covenant. Okay, so the same elements are in that, and I believe that we will be able to eliminate all those other documents once this gets up and running and it becomes mainstream, and, you know, when we're trying to maintain uniformity in documentation, that's the direction that we're moving.
Thank you, sir. All right, we have lots and lots of callers in the queue. So, Janine, the next is 423-212 with no name. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, please. What's your name, sir?
My name is Grant, and I live here in Tennessee, and I've been looking into this for quite some time, and it appears to me that there are two different ways that land was issued here. In Tennessee, there was land issued by the de facto after a certain date, but prior to that, land was issued by the governors of the state, and I'm wondering if there's going to be a different procedure for, because I've contacted the Bureau of Land Management, and they tell me they have no jurisdiction over the eastern states. I'm curious if there's a different process for these eastern states.
Is that one of, would that fall under the King's Grant?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
There is a different process for that grant, and I would ask you to send an email to Dominion Services. They can help walk you through that. There is a difference between a grant and a patent in that BLM does not hold the grants here in this country.
Because originally this grant here, there was a writ issued. Somebody went and selected some land. There was a warrant issued for a writ for a grant, and then it was surveyed off and sent back, and then the grant was issued. And I'm running into a little bit of trouble here because there was a fire in Washington County, and some of the records were destroyed. So I'm having a little trouble getting back to my original land grant.
I'll tell you who's really good at researching this and has done extensive research is Nicole, and she is with Dominion Services. So Tom and Nicole are into this very deeply. They'll help you with that. They have the right answers for you.
And do you have an email handy that you could give me real quick on that?
I do. Unfortunately, I haven't memorized that one. So it's Dominion Services.
HQ, isn't it? Dot info.
HQ.info. You know, let me go get it, and I'll announce that here in just a moment. I don't want to give you the wrong email address.
Okay, that'd be great, because my land's free, cleared, paid for, but, and I've got a special warranty deed that lists me as the heir and fee simple, but I'd like to update my patent, but I'm having trouble doing that, and I guess I'd have to send that off to the governor.
Okay. Here's the email address for you, Grant. It's Dominion Services. That's with an S on the end, .info@gmail.com.
Attention, Nicole?
Yes.
It's DominionServices. info@gmail.com.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
From Tennessee, we're going to go up to Minnesota. We have a cell phone, 612-562. Good evening.
Hello, everyone. This is Donna from Minnesota.
Hi, Donna.
And hi, Sharon. I just want to express my gratitude to all of you, to Sharon and to Tom and to President Tim and Janine and Robert. I could go on, but I just, and to Speaker Lounsbury, I want to just talk a little bit about a concern that I have, and that is that we are here without our courts, and we're here without our rangers, and our people are just being beat up. And I am working with some of us that we're going to put together a citizens action group that we want our voices heard in unity, that these two items especially get to the president's desk so that he can sign them. And I just want to make that announcement tonight. And if there's anyone that feels called to join us, that they would maybe let me know and I'll contact them. Because we just feel real concerned that these are not getting out of the house. And it's a sense of urgency that we the people have. And I just don't know where the urgency is in the House, and I don't mean it this disparagingly. We just haven't had a report that's positive about those coming out. So with that, I yield, and like I said, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Donna. Let's bring Speaker Lounsbury on to comment on that. Speaker Lounsbury.
Thank you. There has been extensive discussion about both the Ranger legislation as well as some of the judiciary legislation. Let me just clarify one thing. The courts are not being held up by legislation. There's laws on the books already. The courts can be set up right now in the states and in the district courts. Those can already be set up. The only thing they're doing in that legislation is perhaps updating some things and making some suggestions for some changes. There are a few things that they're dealing with interaction with ecclesiastical courts and how they will interact with the republic courts. Those types of things are being discussed and debated, and they want to make sure that when they do something, they do it correctly. So as far as the courts are concerned, I believe that's in the process. I know that the judicial branch is already in the process of helping to set those up and get those moving, and I don't believe that any legislation will keep them from getting that moving forward. The legislation that they are working on is going to be coming to the floor very, very soon anyway, within the next week or so. As far as the Ranger legislation, I know that there was a number of people back and forth, not only just in the Congress and in the committee, but input from across the nation, from the people. And so your concern is valid, and I appreciate you bringing that up. Just be aware also that there is a lot of people out there that are bringing up concerns for how it was laid out to begin with as well. And they're going through their due courses and diligence in trying to make sure that they're doing everything lawfully and appropriately and taking into account all the concerns that people have brought up. I do believe it will continue and it will be brought to the floor fairly soon here. And I just think that it had to kind of go through that process of the people in Congress in going through that debate. It's still going to go through some debate when it comes to the floor. But once it does, and once it goes through that process, everyone will understand. And when the votes take place, we will know that we've done our due diligence in checking it out. It wasn't just something that we threw out there and just passed without going through the due diligence. And what I've discovered is that it's not easy to just throw something out to the Congress and have it passed. You don't want that to happen in reality, because that's how we got into the problem that we had and with the de facto. Things get thrown out there. They don't even read it, and they start passing stuff. So in this case, in one sense, the fact that a lot of discussion, a lot of debate is going into it is a good thing. Because that means that they're in the process. They're looking at it. They're taking a look at it. Now, on the other side of the coin, I do acknowledge and recognize that because we're all learning and growing at this, a lot of the concerns aren't necessarily founded on good law or good arguments. And so that's why we're having to go through that and refute some of those arguments that aren't perhaps good arguments for why the legislation needs to be changed in a certain way. But nevertheless, the process is important, and I believe it will be coming to the floor soon. And once that does happen, it's still going to be some time before we get those rangers in place. But it will be, I think, appropriately timed. And so don't lose heart. It is happening. And, yes, definitely, if you've got concerns and input and specific especially if you have refutations for arguments or support for a particular position, go ahead and send that in, and that will just lend even more support and credibility toward getting the legislation passed through or at least put into a form that is acceptable by everybody.
Thank you, Mark. Could I just make one follow-up comment?
Certainly.
Okay, please. I talked to President Tim about this, and I said, what is holding up the court? And his reply to me was that it was Congress. So I guess I would like to have some clarity on that. I can talk to Tim personally, but I would like to have some clarity on that because I think there's a point of order that the courts have to be set up in, and I'm wondering if we're going to have any power in the lower court when we're dealing with the de facto corporation. With that, I yield, and I'm sure the discussion will continue. So thank you again very much.
Okay. Well, let me just follow up one item there. It may have been referring to an act that we're going to be bringing before Congress perhaps this coming Tuesday, which is bringing all of the states into the union on an equal, according to the equal footing clause and doctrine, and that so all of the courts would have equal footing as far as faith and credit across the republic, even those states that came into the republic as states directly under the corporation. In other words, they came into the republic after the corporation was entrenched and in control. And so, therefore, they didn't really come in under the de jure status. But because they truly did come in as states, they thought they were coming in as states of the union, not under the control of a foreign corporation, that we are putting this legislation forward to acknowledge that and to acknowledge the fraud and to enable them to actually participate and come in
including their courts and all those things, not just the courts, but everything that's associated with that state, coming in under equal footing into the union. So that legislation is coming up very soon as well. I know there's some other specific things dealing with licensing of lawyers, which I won't go into in detail now, but that will be coming to the floor as well, and various other specific things. One thing in particular about the relationship with the ecclesiastical courts. And but other than that, I believe that the laws on the books are there to where courts can be established. And if there's anything else that needs to be there before the courts can actually function, I'm not sure that I'm aware of it, and I'll have to get with the president and find out, other than those things that I just mentioned.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Very good, Speaker Lounsbury. I have an online question for you, and that has to do with donations. Please explain where in the Constitution gives you to put forth the right to establish a Donations Act. We are re-inhabiting the de jure Constitution. Where is that authority located?
Well, Congress has the authority to control the money supply, to create money. It has the authority to levy taxes and to bring in revenues and to then appropriate those revenues to the Republic. So if revenues come, if a revenue is coming in, whether it's through taxes or levies or those types of things, somehow that revenue has to be managed and appropriated. I don't believe that there's anything in the Constitution other than those specific Article 1, I believe, sections there that authorize the Congress to deal with money supply and the revenues and the expenses. I don't believe there's anything in there that would prohibit or exclude donations as part of that revenue stream compared to, let's say, levies and tariffs and taxes and so forth.
Very good. Thank you for that answer. Well, let's move down to Alabama. Fred Douglas, good evening.
Good evening, everybody. Glad to be here. Yeah, I had a comment I'd like to make first, that all of the ads that I've seen in the paper, notice of these sheriff's auctions, sheriff sales, at the end of everyone I've seen here in my county, it actually states that the property is being sold as is, whereas with no warranty, no recourse, and no warranty of title or anything like that. And basically what they're saying is they're not even really saying that they have the right to sell the property. So anybody buying the property is kind of sticking their neck out if the landowner decides to fight it. With that said, my questions are, I've completed the land patent process on my property, and I'm about 65 or 70 days out now, so I'm assuming that it's perfected. But a couple of questions I had. President Turner commented a little while ago that a corporation could not own the land, okay? So the deed that I accepted to hopefully hook me up with the land patent as an assignee, grantee assignee, would be my connection to the original land patent from 1859. The way I understand it, I hook into that by accepting my deed. So that gives me, you know, sets me up as an assignee, grantee on the original land patent. Now the problem with that is that what I have is a corporate warranty deed from a corporation, a timber corporation. To have and hold and fee simple and all like that. I have the original deed, and I accepted that. And then I filed my updated land patent and so on and so forth. But I guess the problem I'm having with it is if this corporation that I gave me the corporate warranty that supposedly you know,
sorry,
confer the land onto me, whatever you want to call it. If they didn't actually own it, then how could they sell me the land?
Well, I think the president just came on the line, so if you would like to address that, Mr. President, you feel free.
I'm not sure the president really heard the whole question. Let me repeat it.
I didn't hear the question. I've just got back on. I've been in a dead area. And
Okay. Hi, Tim.
Hi.
Fred, Alabama Fred.
Yeah, hello, Fred.
Listen, the question I had basically was you had made the comment that a corporation cannot own the land.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what the deed that I accepted that the idea behind that was to hook me into the land patent as a grantee,
right.
From a corporation. It's a corporate warranty deed, and it's
right.
from this timber company.
Right.
Okay. So if they can't own the land, then how can they warranty deed it to me?
They can. They only can have the interest. All warranty deeds only transfer interest. They don't transfer ownership. They never have.
Okay. So then, what basically what we're saying is that this what I've done so far by accepting this deed has not hooked me into the land patent.
Yes, it has. Because all you have to show to bring forth the land patent is interest in the property.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
that's all that's required. A deed is fine to show the interest, and that's all you have to have in order a legal interest in a property to bring forth the patent.
Oh, okay, that clears it up then.
Yes.
The only other thing I was saying is the way I understand the process that these people are doing, they're filing these documents into the county, and I understand we're supposed to register them with the Republic.
Yes, they shouldn't be filed in the county. They should be filed. They should be registered in the Republic because that's the strong point of the patent process. Is because if you go and take it back and give it right back to the county, then they've still got their fingers on it. And have some semblance of control, or will at least claim that. So we don't want to be recording these documents in the county. The whole purpose of putting them in the records bureau was to free them from the control of the counties.
Okay, well, you've made it crystal clear for me, and I appreciate it.
All right, sir. Good to hear from you, Fred.
I yield the floor.
Thank you, Fred, from Alabama to Oregon. Up your way, Janine. 522.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for this land patent process that you've got here. I was going to ask
name?
A different
What's
question,
name,
but after
sir?
This last
please
person
identify.
On the line, I'm
sir.
Thinking
sir.
That I need to ask.
Sir, would you please introduce yourself?
Okay, my name is Jim. I have property in Clackamas County, Oregon.
Okay, go ahead, sir. Thank you.
And I'm wondering if I have already filed a land patent in the county, then what do you suggest I do from that point?
You just send it to the Records Bureau and have it recorded at the Records Bureau, and they will send a notice of removal for you.
Okay. And now, this is a non-judicial state, and I have a property. This same property is just starting in the foreclosure process. I received a notice from City Mortgage, the loan servicer, and they just recently told me they're going to foreclose. So is there any – what do you suggest I do to stop the foreclosure, if anything, in addition to the land patent in this non-judicial state?
Well, Alabama also does that as well. They're non-judicial as well. And what happened in my case is when they foreclosed on my property, the when I issued the land patent and notified them of the land patent, they went to court. They decided to go to court over it. and that's what we're doing now, is going through that process. Kind of interesting. The sheriff actually called me in and talked to me about it, wanted to know about my land patent and know about the law, trespassing laws. And he said, the letter that you sent us says that you're going to charge us $250,000 if you trespass on your property. I said, no, sir, that's not correct. He said, well, that's what it said in your letter. I said, no, it didn't. I said, it said I was going to charge you $250,000 per officer and $500,000 per agent. I said, that's according to Title 18. I said, and I will, and I just fully intend to. I said, and I will take you to court on it, and I will win.
So that would be a good step then, is put up a no trespassing sign and fine them for coming onto the property.
Yeah, the land patent, it does shake them up a bit. It did hold the bank off on actually taking possession of my place. And I will tell you, folks, I did this as I didn't have to. I could have paid my payments on my place. I did this as a test because I know I can win it, because I know what the law says, and the banks are committing fraud. Another thing that you guys need to understand and need to do is you need to get a forensic audit on the property, and it'll actually show where it was paid off. We're doing that too. That's a killer for the bank.
Yeah, I agree with that. That I know that I don't know if that is available to us yet, but as soon as we can have that information, I would like to have it. I would like to say that very often the banks are very aggressive because they're used to doing this and getting away with it. So one of the other things that we're doing to keep the, because we're always looking for time to perfect our process or whatever, so we are also filing leases for tenants.
Right.
You know, when they have their tenants, I think most people probably do. So we're filing their leases and notice of interest, and then there's an excellent letter that we have that we can say that, you know, now be nicer, we're going to probably have to file a Title 42 action for fraudulent movement or lack of due process or whatever.
Yes,
and
that's something that you do need to consider as a Title 42 action, because they are not giving you lawful due process.
Right.
And that's a civil rights violation. Yep. And pretty serious.
And I can tell you that they are paying attention.
Yes, they are.
So there's a few things that sometimes we have to be a little bit stronger during the curing process or whatever. Mm-hmm. So on that, I yield.
And President Tim, if we could go back when you talked about the $250,000 per officer, you had talked about, did you say a Title 18 lawsuit?
That's what Title 18 says I can do. I am the owner of my land. I absolutely own it. I'm not a tenant. And because I'm the landowner, I have the right to charge somebody for trespassing on my land.
Got it. Very good. Our next caller is Edmund out of, I don't know, where's 251?
I don't know, but they're unmuted.
Good evening, Edmund. 251-604.
Well, let's
You'll
give
have
him
to
one
try-
more shot, Robert, and then we'll go to our next caller.
Okay, try unmuting yourself. We cannot hear you.
Okay, well, let's go to our next caller, Bob in Massachusetts. And Edmund, if I'm going to take you out of the queue, but if you can come back in, that would be great. Welcome, Bob.
My question is for our distinguished Speaker of the House. I really appreciate your explanation of why it's taking so long, and I'm very impressed thankful that you are doing the due diligence and taking the time rather than acting like the de facto and simply responding to external pressures to force things through just to get them passed. We can afford to wait. We've waited a couple of years to get this republic in place, and we can wait a little bit longer to get it done right. The question I have is regarding some of the earlier congressional things that must have been passed that don't appear on the public postings of laws that were enacted. And I'm referring to our president's comments when he first came on that he was engaged with treaties and conversations with both the United Nations and the Universal Postal Union. And where can I find that authorization in Congress so that I can study it? And with that, I yield.
Okay. I'm not sure exactly what your question is. Are you talking about where did Congress authorize the president to talk with the United to perform his duty?
Well, maybe I misunderstood what the president was saying, maybe we should have him restate that. He mentioned that he had sent people to make or serve documents to the UPU and to the United Nations regarding our status. Doesn't that fall under the control of Congress, and isn't that some sort of a treaty? I don't know. I'd like clarification on just how that process works.
Well, sure. What the president, and I'll, let me just state briefly from the congressional perspective, the Congress does not made any treaties or is not doing any treaties at this point. What he's talking about is just noticing different organizations, like noticing the UN, noticing the UPU, discussing certain things with them about what they may have as far as requirements and so forth, and then talking about other people about acknowledgement of who we are as the Republic worldwide among the other nations. That's all part of the president's job description as far as making relations with other nations and so forth. If there's actually some treaty that actually needs to get set up, some new treaty or some old treaty that needs to get redone in some fashion, he would bring that then to Congress and let the Senate create those treaties and pass that as a treaty at that point. So the president's job description is clear in the Constitution. And the actions of just notifying the world of who we are and where we are does not require congressional approval. It's built into his job description, and we certainly, when we passed the Declaration of Sovereign Intent back in Utah, that certainly was the intent of that document was that it would be made known to the appropriate people in the appropriate times. And obviously it has taken longer than we thought for that to the timings to come into fruition so that it would be made public for the whole world. And it is happening right now. There are more and more people are seeing it, but it is being released in a controlled fashion for some very important reasons, and we're waiting for a lot of the pieces of that puzzle to be put into place worldwide so that all of the pieces can get put together at the same time, and that's why the president's going around and showing it to the various different states and the regions as an encouragement, but also just so that the new people who weren't at Utah can see what's been happening, and it is being released. We just don't want it thrown out there haphazardly on all the blog spots and get all over the place, because there are some key things that still need to take place in this whole acknowledgement and recognition process that we're waiting to make sure they happen in an appropriate time fashion. So as far as Congress is concerned, the president's doing exactly what he is ordered to do through his job description in the Constitution. Does that answer the question?
Yes, sir. I think I perhaps mis interpreted what the president was saying. What I'm looking for is really from a historical perspective of how our republic has been established. And we do have on the congressional website those things, and it would be great to be able to go to somewhere to be able to look up the history of things like notifying the UPU and the United Nations and stuff like that from a strictly historical viewpoint, not so much to question authority and so on, but to get an insight and to really gain a background of our progress and what we've accomplished. And with that, I yield.
Well, thank you, Bob, for your comments. The president has his cell reception has fallen behind another tree in the forest, so he is not able to respond at all at the moment.
Robert, yes. We are approaching 2 hours on this call, so I'm going to hit the stopwatch and put everyone on a three-minute time limit for asking their questions.
Oh, you're so gracious. Okay, very good.
And thanks, Bob.
you gave him a minute. Fran Porter, 423, good evening.
Hi. We are in the process right now of getting our land patent and digging up the documents. Our stuff was also in James County Courthouse, which unfortunately had three courthouse fires. And if we can't, my question was regarding whether or not I was under the understanding that we have to show at least 100 years of deeds. Does the 100 years have to be from when we signed our deed, or is the 100 years from now to back 100 years, is my first question. And second, if we can't find the documentation, but we can, we do have the land grant, we know which property is ours. If we can kind of show where there's like a, even if we can't put the documentation, we can show that we have a map and stuff that we were able to locate, is that sufficient to document it? And I yield.
This is Sharon. I feel that it is sufficient. You know, this is your process. You're bringing it forward. You know how long you've owned this or when you were conveyed onto title. So I would bring it forward, especially if there are fires and other things. I would just bring it forward and go through the process as usual, and if someone has an issue, then they'll have to bring it forth. Otherwise,
right.
That's what I would do.
And my understanding, Sharon, is that the 100 years that Tom speaks of, that would be from present day back.
Right.
Okay, because we already have that. Because so far we've gone back to 1912, but at least the description on the 1912 deed are using the names that were surrounding the boundary descriptions actually that were used on the land grant map. So we're really close, but we just haven't found the last, I'm not sure if we'll be able to because we're in book 10 and there's only book 2 and everything in between has been lost. So we may not.
What state are you in, Fran?
Sorry.
What state are you in?
We're in Tennessee.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
We have our documentation in that little county called James County that no longer exists.
That the other person spoke about.
So, but we do have maps. My friend was able to pull up the original land grant maps of the Ocoee District, and we were able to place our property. And like I said, the last deed that we found is actually using the names as descriptors on the boundaries.
Okay.
So we do have enough documentation. Is that what you're saying?
I believe you do.
Okay. We'll try to get a little bit more if we can, but I think we've just about hit a dead end because, like I said, we're in book 10, and then there is no book between book 2. They said some of book 2 is there, some of it's not, and then there's nothing from book 2 to book 10. So we may, that may be it. So I wanted to know if that was enough.
I believe it is. I think you're on very solid ground, and as I said, I would continue forward. This is your process, and let someone dispute it if they have an issue and prove their point. So.
And then I had one other little question. Is somebody who is not a member of, because I've had a friend asking us too, is somebody who is not a member of the Republic, can they still file for a land fully?
No, you have to sign them up. At least
that's what I told them. That's what I thought it was.
Yeah, just get them in there. Sign them up.
They don't want to be signed up, so
let
me have a look.
Right. Then,
it's not hot enough in the kitchen yet. That's the problem.
That's right.
Yeah. But let him stand on the sidelines and watch you.
Well, he has the attitude he can be sovereign on the land without being sovereign to any government. And I'm like, no, you can't. You can't be sovereign on the land if you don't own your own dirt.
Right, that's more energy.
Fran, we're going to move on. That's well said. He's got to grow.
I yield.
Thank you.
Bill Hargrave, welcome. 615. Bill, we cannot hear you, so if you think you can hear us, we can't. Check your mute button. Going once. Unmute, Bill. Going twice. All right, we'll get you again on the flip. California, 510. Good evening. You have the floor.
Go ahead, California, 510.
All right, there's a cat on the line.
Okay.
That got your tongue. We can't hear you either, cell phone out of California, 510. All right. Going once, going twice, we'll try South Dakota, 605. Can you hear us? You have the floor.
Yeah, this is Mac in South Dakota.
Hey, Mac.
I have a question on land patent. If a person updates a land patent and through the Dominion Services, and it's registered with the Republic, do you hypothecate that land in the end, or how is that held after it's registered?
The answer is unequivocally no. You own your land.
Okay, by hypothecate, you must surely know what that means too, because you don't use it for collateral, for leverage, for borrowing money against it. The government does not do that then.
That is correct.
Okay, that was my question, and I thank you for the answer, and I yield.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jim Carpenter, out of Colorado. Good evening.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, good evening, Robert. Janine. Janine, I understand you're from New Mexico way. Is that right?
No. I just spent a little time in New Mexico working with Rick Weiner, but I'm from Oregon.
Okay. Well, I have an off-the-wall question. My wife is a direct descendant of two families that were the original land grant holders, one in the Ojo Caliente land grant and the other one the Tome land grant. Obviously, that's been decades, even centuries ago. Would this process benefit her in any way?
Do you own property now in those areas?
No.
Then probably not.
Okay. I kind of got that from listening to other conversations, but I thought since I was on the queue, I'd go ahead and ask. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Area code 575. We don't know who you are, so if you can hear us, introduce yourself and ask your question.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. This is Margaret Connolly in New Mexico. And
hi, Margaret.
I am land patent processor number for New Mexico 002. my question is, how do I get the DVD that has the paper process on it? My copies are duplicated, and my hands are tied.
Would you please send an email to Tom and Nicole at Dominion Services, you know, dominionservices.info@gmail.com. Tell them you're a processor and that you need the most current documentation.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Margaret.
All right.
Mm-hmm. South Dakota, 605. Yes. Good evening.
Yes, this is Jerry Adrian from South Dakota. I worked with Sharon and Tom, and I want to thank you, Sharon and Tom, for what you have done. And my question to you, and Tim Turner and everybody else, Janie, for registering the land, the quarter that I put on, my day is up as of tomorrow for 90 days of publishing. What are my rights now that nobody has responded to the land patent of the 160 acres, even though I have some trouble with it? I yield.
I'm sorry, what was your name again?
Jerry Adrian, representative for South Dakota.
Okay, I remember your name, Jerry. And tomorrow is your 90 days date, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
June 1st. I published it, I posted it March 1st, and even though some people tore the signs down and I reposted it again in the next, about 12 hours later, they got ripped off again. And
I just want to ask you a quick question. You had, I believe, three separate processes. Is that correct?
Correct.
And was Gene Hertler helping you with that?
Marlene was helping.
Marlene. Okay.
Kearns.
That's right. That's right. I knew I was getting close in my... I'm trying to go off the top of my head here. I want to double-check your stuff. Would you mind calling me after the call, and I'll just go through with you what I've got?
Okay. What's your number?
And my number is 503-954-0486.
Thank you, Jeannie.
Thank you.
Thank
and
you,
Sharon, did
I
you
yield.
Have any information for him for, you know, after, once we... You know, the 90 days is up. Did you have any information for him?
Well, 90 days seems to be the curing time of when they back off a little bit. And, of course, now he can be removed from tax records and other things. But I'm not saying that is everything's going to go away, but that is definitely the period where everyone just cools off a bit. So we just have to wait and see what happens here. Without going into it on the call, probably I need a private conversation with him.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And I have a question for you girls, and that's how many tax roll letters have been sent?
Well, the 90 days, actually, I have not had one that has cured to 90 days yet, and that's why I want to talk to Jerry. I know we had some special instructions on his. I believe June 4th, though, is my first date for a 90-day cure.
Awesome. Very good.
Awesome. And I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Our next caller, then, is Anonymous. Good evening.
Senator Verner from Nevada.
Hi, Senator Verner.
What's the cost for the patented process? My first question.
For the entire process, from A to Z, through Dominion Services, and then recording at the Republic Records Bureau, is
$630.
$30. Yes, my mind was going blank for a minute.
That's quite right.
Another question. I sent an email about 3 months ago to start this. Nobody ever contacted me.
You sent an email to Dominion Services?
Yes, and I sent another one today.
Okay. I do know that they are doing some traveling today. I'm sorry, what state are you from again?
Nevada.
Nevada.
Isn't that Jim?
I don't believe Jim has taught a class in. I don't believe we've taught a class in Nevada yet.
Okay.
Do you want to have him either contact you or me, Sharon, and we'll get him in touch with someone?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Did you want to be a processor, or do you want to just have your land patent done?
For now, I just want to get my land patented done, and then consider a processor later. I have an IRS lien against me in this county, and I wanted to get this protected as soon as possible.
All right. Well, you can send an email. Sharon, did you want to give your email out?
Please.
Okay. I'm not sure which one you want, so I'll let you.
Send it to Illinois_Republic.
Illinois_Republic.
At yahoo.com.
Okay. Another thing, to do this process, do I have to have a processor from Nevada do it or not necessarily?
No, anyone can help you with it. I'm not sure if we have someone in Nevada.
We don't have anyone in Nevada right now. We'll get you in touch with someone that can help you, maybe someone there in Arizona, which is nearby.
Right.
Okay, thank you, and I yield.
You're welcome.
All right, we have an ever-increasing number of callers in the queue, so let's try to be as brief as we can. Gary Holder, 509, good evening.
Yes, this is Gary Holder, Secretary of State of Washington. I hate to chop the land patentist conversations apart, but I want to go back to the certificate of citizenship and ask the question, can we sign up the Hispanic with this document?
Speaker Lounsbury.
An Hispanic person certainly can document their citizenship if they are a documented citizen at this point with the corporation, then they would be qualified to go ahead and document their citizenship with the de jure republic.
Okay. Do they have to be born in the States?
No. But they have to show that they've been naturalized, or you know, that they if they're a citizen of the corporation, then under the jurisdiction of the corporation, then they would qualify to document their citizenship within the republic.
Okay, I thank you for that answer, and have a good evening.
Thank you, sir. Janine and Sharon, Brenda out of Arizona has also offered her email if the senator from Nevada wants to some assistance.
Okay, can we give her email over the call? Will she
yes.
mind?
It's BAND, band, MJ, crater. CRATER at yahoo.com.
Perfect. Why don't you repeat it one more time, Robert?
BAND, band, MJ, crater, CRATER at yahoo.com.
Okay, let's go to our next caller that's anonymous. Go ahead, anonymous.
Oh, okay. Well, that's Mark Gardner. I guess I forgot to turn my phone off of anonymous there.
okay.
I like that. It's a new name for you. Hey, Anonymous. What's going on, buddy?
Non. Yeah.
Non.
Hey, I have a question for the speaker or a suggestion or something. I don't know. Is it possible for us to increase the organizational efficiency in government by having the secretaries come to Congress so that we can have a discussion with the secretaries on the progress in their particular areas under the president's executive branch? Is that possible we could get that done, you know, in the next month or so, Mr. Speaker?
Well, certainly I have encouraged all of the chairmen of the committees to call up and get with
the different secretaries that will be pertinent to their committee and work very closely with them. A number of the committees have done that, and so I don't see a reason why that couldn't be done. It should be
done. Well, I've reached out to some secretaries to do that, but I know that not all the secretaries are active at this point, and I'd like to encourage some activity in important areas in the Republic here. I think that by having them come to Congress, it's going to possibly motivate them to become more active. I know there's many active secretaries and some that aren't. So it was just a suggestion. Well, is that possible?
Sure. What I can do is I can get with the president, who is obviously the boss of all those secretaries, and I will get forward to him the contact information for the different chairs of the committees, and have him get with his secretaries and make sure that they contact those chairs.
Okay, that sounds good. I just would like to improve the efficiency between the executive and Congress. It's not me, it's the idea. But, I think that would help us a lot because better communications gets better results. So it's just an idea.
Well, Non, I want to agree with you. I've actually reached out to all the different committees to offer to have an open dialogue with them, and I've had a couple respond. Yours was one of them. So it's a two-way street. I know that there are secretaries who are also open and available to have open dialogue. So let's do it.
Yeah. Do we have a list of the secretaries available to the congressmen on the Republic Congress website? Is there a secretary list, or can we get one up there?
Well, Kim McDowell is the president's secretary, so that would be where you would address that that matter.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much.
K.McDowell@Republic.
Okay. Yeah, I have her address. Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very good. I have a correction. I'm sorry. I gave you the wrong email address for Brenda Crater in Arizona for the senator in Nevada. It's Bland. It's not Band. So it's BLAND, MG Crater at Yahoo. That's
and when
Bland.
You're saying MG, you're saying like Mary and golf?
No, Mary Jerry. Mary Juliet.
Okay.
Are you watching your phone there?
Oh, let me see if I can fix that. Hold on.
You're just kidding.
All right. So Bland, BLAND, MJ, Crater, at yahoo.com. All right. Our next caller, Randy, out of Michigan. Good evening.
Hi. How are you guys doing tonight?
Great.
Really well. Busy call.
Yes. This question would be for Sharon. And I started the process back in January by doing the initial information and that. And I got a few emails back, responses and that, and then they stopped. And then the original Dominion Services website just kind of disappeared and fell off the face of the earth. And then I've recently found the new one, and I have that link. But do you suggest that I start the whole process over again?
Well, I'm sorry. What state are you from?
Michigan.
Michigan. I'm trying to think. This is June. When did we start? Oh, okay. You started in Michigan. I'm not sure what you have done, who you started with, or what you have. So
well, I started with Jay Jones, and then it went to Kathy. Oh, I don't even know if I want to talk.
Oh, yeah,
about
I would
that.
Say, okay, how about if you give me a call tomorrow or email or something?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And we'll talk about that tomorrow, and I'll help
okay.
you with that.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that I don't, like, start something over that's already kind of started somewhere, and, you know, I just got lost in, you know, all the email traffic or whatever. So.
Okay. I'm going to give you my email.
Okay.
It's Illinois_Republic@Yahoo.
Okay.
And if you wouldn't mind, scan and send me a copy of what you've done. Okay.
Okay. All right. I'll do that. I'll do that. Well, with that, I just had one other quick comment.
Okay.
And I know, President, this was in regards to what they were talking about with the forensic loan audit scams?
Yes.
That's how the Federal Trade Commission of the de facto is listing all that. They have a big thing on their website that all the forensic audits are scams.
Really?
So, yeah. I happened to type it in after you guys mentioned it, and boom, Google showed this, and I'm looking at this big page, you know, of how it's a scam and everything else. So I see the de facto is on their toes and, you know, trying to shoot everything down. So
hey, when the sheeple start jumping the fences, they can't stand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Randy, I don't know the ins and outs and the particulars of the process that the president is talking about with the forensic audit. I know that they're working on some things. What they're working on is not the typical forensic audit that we would pay $300 or $400 for out here in de facto land. It is what I understand is going to be quite detailed and extensive. So if they're already shaking it in their boots, so wait till they get a hold of this.
Now, that'd be great.
Yeah.
To see that.
Me too. I'm waiting.
Okay,
now Randy, where was the source of the report of forensic audits are all scams?
It's right on the Federal Trade Commission's website.
Oh golly.
Right under consumer protection.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's going to be tough for them if this as this opens up, you know, and it all comes unglued.
Right.
It'll be tough to hold it together.
If you guys have the. I'm on halfway on Skype and that too, and I just sent a link to your free conferencing number where that FTC report is. But
very good.
I'll yield, and thank you guys for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Robert, we have 5 callers left in the queue. I'm going to say we're going to, you know, take these 5 and then be done for the evening if everyone agrees.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
You have the floor. You're okay with that? Good. It's been a long time.
I'm falling out of my chair here.
I was hearing it creak, Sharon. Maybe you could use some of what's in that bottle to kind of...
Yeah, I think that's the problem, actually.
Jake, good evening.
Oh, have you got me unmuted?
Yes,
yes,
sir.
You're unmuted.
Okay,
hi, Jake.
I'm running into a little trouble with this. Corporations can hold land but not own it. Here in Illinois, we have the Swamp and Overflow Act, and it originated in Arkansas. I saw this a couple weeks ago, and don't hold me to these dates. But I think it was in Arkansas, 1853. And it's Swamp and Overflow Act for Arkansas and other states. And Illinois enacted it in 1858. And what it amounts to is the corporate government took the land patent and then built drainage ditches, levees, whatever, done improvement on it, of course, through taxpayer money, and then sold the land with warranty deeds. Now, how do we skirt that issue?
Okay, I'm going to give you my opinion. Is the president still on the line?
No, he's not.
No, we've lost him.
Okay, I see this. I'm very familiar with Illinois, obviously.
I know you are.
Great job you're doing in Congress, by the way. I want to say that I see this, and I have seen it throughout Illinois. But I also see that corporations are not supposed to be, they refer to other statutes, which is a corporation. We're talking about people here. So our right, I mean, I feel that no one has the right to usurp my rights. So I still bring the land patent forward,
and I claim my little section of that world. So I just keep moving forward. And I put that just as they do to us, everything is based on presumption of law or presumption of everything. I still bring it forward and let them dispute it. So that's what I do.
So we should just go ahead and...
Just go ahead. Why not? You're entitled to that.
Carry on.
No matter what they've done, it was, you know, you have to understand that there, it's between you and God. First to buy, sell, or give away. So that's how I feel about it.
Okay, well, this was kind of clarified a little bit earlier.
Yeah, no, I would just keep moving. If they know something better, you know, we are so used to listening and obeying and whatever. They violated our rights when they did those things. I say, I'm going to exercise my rights, and I'm going to have you to be disputing it instead of me. So I yield the floor.
Okay, and with that, I yield, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jake. Thank you, Sharon. Our next caller is at 860. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi. I'm just calling on the flags.
What's your name, sir?
I'm Rich.
Thanks.
From Connecticut, representative.
Hi, Rich.
How you doing? The flag, I know that you guys have mentioned it a couple times on the call. Is there a place to buy them yet, or do you know anything about that?
I know that we had some people that were from the Monday governor's call that were looking into getting some quotes, but we've missed the Monday call for a couple of weeks now. Hopefully we'll be able to find out what people have come up with. Yeah, that would be great. We're hoping people will be able to put these flags in their yards and this summer and fly them for...
here in Connecticut for the 4th of July.
Right, right, exactly right. So hopefully when we have our next executive call, they'll have some information for us, and we'll pass that along.
Awesome. I'll yield the floor. Thank you.
Thanks,
Thank
Rich.
You.
Nelson Scott out of Colorado. Good evening.
Yes, can you hear me?
We yeah. sure can.
Oh, good. Apparently you couldn't hear me earlier. Let's see, I cut to the chase of it. We had an incident take place with, not an incident, but in a foreclosure hearing, the person I was getting foreclosed on did have a representation with an attorney or proved that the foreclosures were fraudulent. And the judge even admitted that it was fraudulent. And then the judge asked the bank's attorney that was there, a woman attorney, his words were, is this the bank's is this how they go about doing it, the way they presented the case? And she said yes. And the judge, knowing that it was fraudulent, ruled in favor of the bank because it was business as usual, the process that they used. It was blatant, and he ruled in favor of the bank to go ahead with the foreclosure. And I'm not sure how many people are aware of the Credit River court decision. There's a jury trial in 1968.
We're aware. I'm aware of that. That was Judge Maloney.
You are aware of it?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I referred to, and it's been hidden away. I understand the Minnesota courts that they said that they just repeal that. And amendment to Article 7, Bill of Rights, you cannot do that on a jury decision. Are you aware that in July of 2011 that the senior deputy comptroller of the chief and chief counsel of the Office of Comptroller of the Currency, now there's a title, did give testimony before the Subcommittee on Financial Institutions and Customer Credit, also the Subcommittee on Oversight and Investigation of the Committee of Financial Services in the United States House of Representatives. And they did issue out an order to cease and desist, and it has been ignored also. If there's any input, I think I better you all listen for your ideas.
Well, it's the corruption. It's just I know exactly what you're talking about. You're dealing with massive fraud, but sometimes it is a huge battle. We've been doing that for 3 or 4 years now. And I don't know what to say is that, you know, there are some letters. I think that what you need to do is study Title 42, civil rights violations, or Title 18 or whatever, civil rights violations. And you probably need to go along that vein because that's what's going on.
Thank you. It's blatant, and it's the private court. I don't know if we can file criminal charges on them.
Absolutely. Title 42 goes into federal, so move it to the federal court.
And if you've brought your land patent forward, it's already a federal question.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Our next caller was out of the queue before. He's back in. Edmund Evadne. Good evening.
Battle 42.
Can you hear us, Edmund?
Edmund from area code 251. Can you hear us? We still cannot hear you, so check your mute button. Edmund, can you hear me?
Robert, I'm going to leave Edmund in the queue and go ahead and put the mute button back on, and we'll go to the next caller and then check back with Edmund afterwards.
Very good.
Okay. And next caller is Fran, area code 423. Go ahead,
Hello?
Fran. Yes,
hello,
go
there
ahead.
You are. Who's that?
This is Morris Porter, Representative of Tennessee.
Hey, Morris.
Hey, I've heard a rumor that once you get your land patent, that you can monetize it. Is that true, and what in the world does that mean?
I'll speak to that. Are you talking about monetizing it through the Republic or through the de facto banking system, or what exactly are you referring to?
I don't understand monetizing, so I'm not sure how to answer that.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I believe that once you get your land patent, you should just own your land, and that's it. I wouldn't go down that road.
You don't. When you have a land patent on your property, you know you can't encumber it further, or you don't want to encumber it further.
Right.
And so monetizing it would put a lien or an encumbrance against that property, and that defeats the purpose.
Okay, that explains a lot. Although I still don't understand monetizing completely, but if I don't need to do it, then I don't need to understand it. So I'm good.
I agree.
Thank you, and I yield.
Okay, you're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, Robert, let's try Edmund one more time.
Very good.
Edmund, can you hear us now? Edmund, I'm not sure what's going on with your phone. Robert, how did they unmute their own phone?
Hello?
There you go.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, did I come on?
Yeah, you
yes,
came
you
on.
Okay, well, this is my first time, so let me introduce myself. I'm Nancy Tillman Skipper from Mobile, Alabama. And my question, first of all, I wanted to say that I appreciate all that the great minds have done in putting this together and bringing it about. And I don't believe it would have ever got off the ground if God wasn't there first.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's like revived me again.
Yeah.
So, and I'm willing and able to do whatever I can to further it along. And my question is about the deeds, having them registered. Where do I go, or do I mail them certified or registered mail, or do I go somewhere to get this done?
To get the land patent done?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm going to give you the email address for Dominion Services. You contact them, and they will help you get in touch with a processor in your area.
Okay.
It's Dominion Services, plural, with an S on the end of that, .info@gmail.com.
Okay, I got it.
Great, thank you.
All right, and I yield.
Well,
thank you,
Nancy. Welcome to the Republic and welcome to the call. Well, Jean, we've exceeded ourselves here. It's a couple of minutes before 8:30. I would like to close with a request from one of our members who suggested that we read Psalm 65 in recognition of the president as he takes off on his trip. I have not read Psalm 65, so I'd like to do that now.
Great.
Psalm 65, for the choir director, a Psalm of David. It's a song. What mighty praise, O God, belongs to you in Zion. We will fulfill our vows to you, for you answer our prayers, and to you all people will come. Though our hearts are filled with sins, you forgive them all. What joy for those you choose to bring near, those who live in your holy courts. What joy awaits us inside your holy temple. You faithfully answer our prayers with awesome deeds, O God, our Savior. You are the hope of everyone on earth, even those who sail on distant seas. You formed the mountains by your power and armed yourself with mighty strength. You quieted the raging oceans when with their pounding waves and silenced the shouting of the nations. Those who live at the ends of the earth stand in awe at your wonders. From where the sun rises to where the sun it sets, you inspire shouts of joy. You take care of the earth and water it, making it rich and fertile. The rivers of God will not run dry. They provide a bountiful harvest of grain, for you have so ordered it. You drench the plowed ground with rain, melting the clods and leveling the ridges. You soften the earth with showers and bless its abundant crops. You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance. The wilderness becomes a lush pasture, and the hillsides blossom with joy. The meadows are clothed with flocks of sheep, and the valleys are carpeted with grain. They all shout and sing for joy. So, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for the encouragement which we've heard and shared on this call. We thank you for those who are laboring in the field to bring resolution and remedy and solutions to the pain and the challenge that we as Americans face as we try to hold on to reclaim that which is our rightful due and to shake off the monkey on our back that is this de facto conglomerate. So, Lord, I pray for a blessing on all those who are listening to this call. We pray for their families. We pray, Lord, that you will be faithful and continue to be faithful to open the doorway of solution to each and every member who sincerely seeks you and desires to know you and to know that you have everything in the palm of your hand. You tell us not to worry. You tell us not to fret. And you tell us to fear not. So, Lord, we close this call giving you all the praise and the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And Robert, my computer has stalled. If you'll pick a closing song for us, I'd appreciate that.
Oh, sure. Very good. So good night, all, and we'll talk with you all next week, God willing.
Good night.
Good night. Night.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
God bless America. Through the night with a light.